Október 10-én az Arkó lép fel a Budapest Arénában harmadmagukkal, de most velük fogunk beszélgetni, akik itt vannak velünk. Engedjétek meg, hogy angolul köszöntsem őket, és angolul fogunk beszélgetni, ha meg nem haragszotok. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mariko and Leo.
Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Hey, guys. We good. How are you? Are you rehearsing?
We are rehearsing currently today. So, it's been going well. We're feeling pretty well prepared and relaxed and excited.
Yeah, as prepared as you can be for an arena tour, so...
Okay, so before we start to talk about your music and your show, let me just have a very private question. If you don't want to answer, you're not going to answer. Are you making a couple?
No,
we are not a couple. We are actually very good friends, and we started as a songwriting duo. So we're what people like to call a music marriage.
Did anybody ask this before?
We've had that question before. We've also had brother and sister.
Yes, we've had brother and sister when we look sometimes, because we both got platinum blonde hair, fake, on both parts.
How did you meet?
We were on a songwriting camp put on by a company called APRA, which is an Australian rights collection.
Whoa.
So we were both artists separately before we were ARCO together. And we were songwriters for other artists and other people. So then we were put in a room together to write a song, and that's how we met, basically.
Yeah, but it was probably, I reckon, three or four years ago that we met, and it wasn't like one of those things where you meet and you think, oh, we're going to be best friends, we're going to make music every day.
Yeah.
Because about a year until we actually started working together again and formed ARCO officially in the pandemic.
Yeah, we're a pandemic band.
I see, a pandemic baby. Your project is a pandemic baby. So what happened when you started to work after 1 year?
I don't know. I just realized that every song we were writing was really, really good. Because it was kind of our job before to be songwriters and write songs for, you know, all kinds of different artists and ourselves. And it's very hit and miss, you know, you write one amazing song one day and then the next day, not so good. But I thought as soon as we started working together properly and we started just going to the studio every day and during the pandemic do it over Zoom, every song was great. And even though every song didn't get cut and they got rejected by a lot of different artists, I was like, there's something.
Yeah, I think there was like a point where there were a lot of DJs, because we're a dance act, we're an electronic act primarily. And there was a point where a lot of DJs were saying to us, we love this song, can we keep it? And it got to a point where I looked to Leo and thought, there's definitely something we're missing here. We should be keeping these songs for us, collaborating with these amazing, you know, DJs. And that's sort of how it happened. We did our first song with a DJ called Don Diablo, which is called Hot Air Balloon, which has like 50 million streams now.
I just listened to it just before we started to talk. I listened to it. I really like it.
Yeah. Do you like it? What's your honest opinion?
My honest opinion was that I didn't switch it off. So that was actually good, because I could listen it through. You know, when you on Spotify, you have an endless chance to listen to new music. So you don't have the patience to go through everything you start to listen to. So how do you make music, especially in the age of Spotify?
Yeah, I think music is so easily consumed these days. There's so many options. People can listen to all different types. It's so accessible now. So for us, it's just about, we try and lead by a feeling, as we think most of our music comes from that place. Everything's super danceable. Everything's very like catchy. We try and write everything with our pop brains on, which means that we can write really well-rounded pop songs, but with a bit more emotion and feeling. And yeah, and I think together we judge ourselves and then choose the best ones.
Right. What was before? How was your connection to your listeners before? Like, separately you had fans, I suppose. How did it change when you came together?
So it was very, the projects we had separately were very different. So we're both singer-songwriters. So very heartfelt music, you know, with acoustic guitars and pianos and everything.
Yeah.
But we didn't know each other at this time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did kind of, we had separate fans, but I think we're creating just a lot of new fans with Arco. I think there's a little bit of crossover, but not that much crossover because the music's very different.
Yeah, and I think the people that have come over from our solo projects are always saying to us, this is an amazing transformation of what we've done before because it's completely different, which was super important to us just to create something that felt, I think it was born out of the pandemic because we were all in a position where we weren't allowed to leave the house and everything was really restrictive. So the Arco music is very free, it's very liberal, it's very danceable. So that was a reflection of the time that we're in. And now we're out of that. Mm. We're like, actually, it's going.
Yeah. The pandemic changed a lot of things in our lives. And we had a vision of something about music, about life. And then it could just change in a minute. How did you keep your trust in yourself that what you do is good enough?
So I think like for us as songwriters, because that's what we are primarily, as well as being artists now and before, the beauty is in the songwriting process. So regardless of the outcome or whatever, that day we get to spend together and write the song, it was like that was the best bit. And to be honest, when we started Arco, I don't think we ever thought any of these songs would ever be released or be allowed to be released, or, you know, we were just doing it because it was fun. And it was a release from us for writing more boring songs for other people.
Well, basically, I think as well as, like I said before, that intuitive feeling as a music lover, we consume a lot of music as well. And we listen to loads of different kinds of acts, not only dance acts, you know, pop acts, singer-songwriter, folk, indie. There's always the kind of key component, which is, you know, you get that internal feeling when you're listening to a song. And that's what I would consider trusting yourself and trusting your own musical ears, and like how something leads you to a point of knowing, like, actually, this is good. So with Arco, we always had that internal feeling. And you know, we thought it was kind of, there's a whole concept around the band and the music, which is, you know, Leo and I, for anyone who doesn't know Arco is a planet that Leo and I get sent to on a mission to save our mother. It's really inspired by the Gorillaz and sort of this this cross-section of not only music, but a concept that makes it really interesting. And when we found something that we felt really passionate about, we were concerned when we came out of it that it wouldn't translate to record labels or to fans or to people that would be consuming, but everyone was super excited. So the crazier it got, the more wild the music, the concept, people were really into it. So I think you can always gauge you're doing the right thing by people's reactions, you know, friends and family of ours as well.
How did your family react?
I remember my parents actually loved the stuff that we did.
My mom also loves it.
Because they love you guys, but how was the honest reaction?
That's not hold back if he thinks something isn't very good.
Your dad would tell you.
My dad would tell me, for sure.
Yeah. My mom loves all types of music, but dance music is definitely something that she's coming around to, and she's an aqua aerobics instructor. So she loves something that she can put on and she can teach her class to. So I think it's kind of ageless, the music that we make, which is a blessing because, it means that anyone can enjoy it. Like my little cousins, some of them live in New Zealand. I'm from that side of the world. You know, my friends here and my mom, it kind of spans generations. So hopefully everybody can enjoy it.
Yeah, I noticed that we did a show in Madrid last month, I think. Mm-hmm. And looking out into the crowd, it was like everyone was there, all ages, and that was really, really cool to see.
At the moment when you are working on something, you do it, and you do it with passion and love, but you don't think about if it's good for people or not.
We're very aware of what can work formulaic-wise, you know, in terms of, you know, when it comes to lyrics and the things that we say, how simply digested things are. And then on the other side, there's chords and different harmony that really resonate with people and a feeling in a song. But I think that the actual magic comes from the spontaneity of the whole thing and us just being much more free it's like using those rules but not sticking strictly to them, because it's what makes it special is that little bit of magic that maybe isn't the normal way of doing something.
Yeah, I'd say that Arco is like the first time in our recent careers where we haven't overthought things and we haven't tried to come up with the recipe or anything. I mean, the Arco was started by accident. We were supposed to be a songwriting duo and writing songs behind the scenes for other people, and we thought our artist days were done or they'd reappear in a different way, but not in a band.
But also, this is a perfect example, is Hot Air Balloon, which is, you know, one of our most successful songs. Leo actually wrote a lot of that hook in the shower and brought it to the studio. And that's like one of those things, you know, I was like, what am I doing wrong with my shower time? How come you're coming to the session with a fully formed hook? And it was something that we try and just, you know, like when he brought that into the session, I was like, that's magic. That's come to you from a place of, you know, pure just creativity in an unexpected moment. There is no formula to it, but it resonates with everybody. So I think sometimes, yeah, it can resonate in so many different ways depending on, we're trying to be different while still being accessible.
Do you meet every day?
Most days.
Yeah.
We actually spend a lot more time. We joke about it because we live in each other's pockets now, which is, I never knew that I would ever be part of something that was, because in the music industry, you know, you meet so many people and you have so many different collaborators. But for us to join now, and we see each other pretty much, I'd say, 4 or 5 days a week now.
Wow.
So colleagues, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. Monday to Friday job.
Oh yeah, that's like, yeah, that's a full-time job right now.
Yeah.
What was your job before you started to work together?
So
different story. You can tell your story first.
I'll tell my story first. I mean, I moved to England 10 years ago and I've done many jobs. So I've worked in many cafes and hospitality, but I was lucky to start music more full-time when I signed my first record deal as a solo artist. And that's when things kind of shifted for me and I was able to just focus on creating. And I think that's a pretty normal story. And then what about you?
I started really young. So I was sort of kind of doing it full time when I was about 16, and touring and doing all of that stuff. And then got more into the songwriting side as well as the artist stuff. And then, yeah. Quite a few years later, Arco was born. That's a very short version of the story.
Yeah,
you're young. Of course it's a short version. Okay, one more thing left. How do you manage your tour? Because you have a very busy schedule. You go to Italy, you go to Netherlands, you come to Budapest. So how you do it? You travel with Nightliner, you travel with airplane, private plane, public transport. How you manage all these things?
Don't have an Arco private plane, we'd be offsetting all of those emissions. No, we are, this tour is predominantly going to be by plane and by train, because obviously everything's so connected in Europe, so it makes sense for us. Some bands travel by Nightliner and are driving around, but we're pretty self-sufficient, so. And we're really keen to see these places. We've never been to Budapest. Have you been to Budapest?
No.
Yeah, we've never been. And we want to see as much as we can by foot and you know, et cetera. We're not walking everywhere, though.
How long you stay?
That's something we're not. I think it's going to like a day and a half, 2 days.
But it's nice when you stay. I mean, it's obviously different if you're driving because you just leave that night and then you wake up in the next place.
Yeah.
But we get to do the show, maybe have a few hours at night and then have a bit of time in the morning before we have to leave to wherever it is the next day.
What's your routine before the show?
For sound check, we're usually there a fair few hours before, four hours. So we get there to the venue and, you know, you've got your little backstage area with your little snacks and you chill out, you do some warm-ups, you get on stage. And then once the show is finished or 5 Seconds of Summer finishes, everything's packed down and you head back to your hotel. So, I mean, everything is quite condensed in terms of dates. So there won't be much off time. There'll be a lot of traveling, but we're really excited to visit new places and meet new people.
Our main things before the show, we like to take a little moment of calm, just the two of us, so we can actually appreciate the crazy moment that we're in. And then we have to hype ourselves up a bit. Then we have the energy to come on stage and put on a good show.
We've got a very high energy show. So anyone, we hope to see many people, many new faces. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Aqua family. But yeah, it's a really high energy show. So that's what people can expect.
Okay. So have a nice preparing. Have a safe trip. And we see you on October 10th in Budapest, Poplaszló Budapest Port Arena. So that's the name of the venue, just for your information.
I'm getting that one down right now.
We can't wait.
We can't wait, though. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for your time. And very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. See you soon.